Good morning, children.
How was your weekend so far? Good. I'm glad to hear that. I have a question for you. What is your first impulse to do if somebody were, say, walking down the stairs and all of a sudden they tripped and fell and blah, 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 all the way to the bottom? An impulse, your reaction. Or let's say I was walking up here and I just tripped and fell flat on my face. Would that be funny?
What?
Would it be funny?
If.
So y'all never laugh if somebody hurts themselves? Somebody's hammering in a nail, bang, yeah. Bang, and all of a sudden they hit their thumb. Ow!
Ow!
You don't start laughing? Wow, you guys are very mature.
Ow!
I'm afraid that oftentimes I find humor in a situation and I say, I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you because I experienced the same thing. Maybe that's just a pathetic excuse.
If you nailed in your foot, that would be...
That would hurt very badly. Yeah. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about compassion. I'm going to give you a story from my life, and unfortunately I was a quote-unquote mature adult at this time. That would hurt if it hit your shin. Ow. Well, here's what happened to me. Okay, so I was just married not too long, maybe a few months. And where I worked, we decided we were all going to do a kind of gift exchange. So we took a bunch of people out to work, and out to go shopping. And when we came back, people were getting their things. And one of the girls was getting some stuff out of the trunk, and she closed the trunk on her nose. I don't know how you do that, but I thought that was pretty funny. That girl sure didn't think it was funny, and my newlywed wife was very disappointed in me. So I tried hard to show as much sympathy as I could, but I kept laughing, and I didn't look very sincere. And I felt so bad, and to this day, I still feel real bad, that instead of showing genuine compassion, I just laughed at her.
Ow!
Ow, it does hurt. I still don't know how she did it, but she did. And yeah, that's kind of what we do, right? Somebody hurts themselves, we laugh. And I'm not sure why God gave us that impulse or if that is something our culture's taught us to do. But here's another situation. Let's pretend somebody you don't like. So it's not just your friend who hurts himself. You know, maybe Timmy, he's doing something and he hurts himself. It's, are you okay? But let's pretend it's somebody who's not been so nice to us and they get hurt. Is that kind of funny then? Like I'll tell you a story I read in school years ago, so if I get some facts mixed up and you know the story, forgive me. This is how I remember it. There was once a boy, a very poor boy, who sold apples in a cart. He'd go up and down, he'd try to sell apples.
Yum.
Yeah, yummy, right? Well, his friends, though, they weren't poor, and so they didn't need to work. They could just goof off all day when school was out, but this boy needed to sell apples. And one time, he was up at the top of the street. The main street kind of was uphill and downhill. And these other boys saw this poor boy, and they're like, ha, look at him. He's selling his apples in a cart. Wouldn't it be fun to tip over that cart and see all his apples go rolling down the street? You think that'd be funny to watch? Well, these boys did. So they all ran up. They weren't very good boys. And they knocked over his cart, and sure enough, all the apples went rolling down. So that poor boy, he went and tried to gather all his apples again. And these bad boys laughed at him and took off running. One of them tripped on an apple and fell and twisted his ankle. Ow! Serves him right, right? Ha! Look at you.
Ow!
Yeah, isn't that kind of funny? Yeah. Here he's going to do a mean deed, and he hurt himself in the process. Doesn't he deserve that? Shouldn't that poor boy, you think that poor boy should laugh at him and say, look at you, you were being all mean, now you got to hobble for 2 weeks. You know what that poor boy did? Yeah, it is sad. That would hurt really bad. Unless it was an electric keyboard. But here, listen to the story. So, that boy, the poor boy, he went, helped him up. You okay? And, oh, he was embarrassed. The other boy, he was so embarrassed. You know, he had done a mean deed, and he didn't want this poor boy helping him. Oh, I'm fine, son, I'm fine. But he couldn't stand up because his ankle hurt him so bad, too much. So the poor boy gave him his coat to sit on and got him all comfortable and finished picking up his apples and went and got help for him. That poor boy showed compassion. And again, I guess y'all are all pretty mature if you never feel an impulse to laugh at people less fortunate than yourselves. In the book of Proverbs, we read a verse that says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." What does that mean? Not just people, but your enemy, right?
Yeah.
And don't let your heart, so it's different. It's one thing to rejoice, right? When your enemy falls, but another when your heart, inwardly, you're smirking.
When,
serves him right, right? Your heart's glad.
When you're glad that people fall down, that's not right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just a minute here, Emily. So let's keep going. Do you think God rejoices when evil people die? You think when Hitler died, God was like, ha.
What if,
just a minute, Emily. Do you think the Lord rejoices when wicked people die and they stand before him in judgment?
No.
He judges them? No. Why? How do we know that?
He loves everybody.
He does, right? For God so loved the world. But also in Ezekiel, we read this verse. So the Lord speaking through Ezekiel, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Can a wicked man turn from his way when he's dead?
No.
No, he can't. So the Lord says he doesn't have pleasure in the wicked when they die. He wants them to turn from their way and live. In Romans, we read, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." So what does it mean to rejoice with them that rejoice?
Yeah, be glad.
Yeah, be glad when other people are glad, right? So let's say you and Spencer are walking in the woods, you're looking for antlers, and he finds one. Do you get all jealous? I didn't find one, he found one. Or do you rejoice with him, right? Wow, good for you, Spencer, you found one. Now, let's say, well, let's see, I don't know how to say a good example, but how can we weep with those that weep? Or show sympathy with those maybe who are hurt, right? So maybe, what is Emily? How can you show? How can you weep with them that weep?
What?
Maybe Heidi has a good example.
What?
Heidi, go ahead.
Well, it could be just if somebody... if somebody falls and hurts themselves, so helping them, or like if maybe somebody's brother or something died, go and comfort them.
Yep. Yep. Showing comfort.
Yeah.
Going with them.
We have a book that says that we get at the end of when we read it. At the end of when we read it, when you're supposed to turn to the next page. God so loved the world.
Oh, good.
And it says it in different languages.
Interesting. So, do you know that Jesus also spoke on this subject in the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus said this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You love those that love you, and those who don't like you, you don't like them, right? You love your enemy. I mean, you love your neighbor, and you hate your enemy. That seems like a pretty logical human thing to do. But Jesus says, "I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Why is that? It says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Huh, interesting. Did you know that Jesus told the Pharisees that they were children of the devil? Why would he say such a thing? It's because they had the devil's fruits, right? So if we show God's fruit, are we children of God then?
Yes.
Yes. Why is that? So here, just a minute. "For he maketh his sun," so God makes a sun to rise on the evil and on the good. "He sends rain on the just and the unjust." So let's say you have a farm and your neighbor has a farm. and you love God, you are serving God, you are trying hard to live for God, and your neighbor is an atheist, he hates God, he has nothing to do with God, he's a wicked man. Doesn't it seem right that God would send rain on your farm and let the sun shine on your crops and for that wicked man to let his farmers kind of go to waste? God doesn't do that. God gives you rain and it gives the neighbor, your enemy, rain on the evil man. And then Jesus says, if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? So even the worst people, they do that. They love people who love them. And if you salute your brethren only, so if you only say, hey, how are you doing? And do that only to your friends, what are you doing more than other people? Don't wicked people do that? This is all part of how God wants us to live. And I wanted to share with you a few Bible stories that show how God's heart is for those who don't love us. And how people who love God responded. Do you remember the story of Joseph? Who can remember the story of Joseph?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he have a coat of many colors? He was the favorite son of Jacob, right?
Oh, yeah.
And how many brothers did he have? 11. He had 11 brothers. That's a pretty big family, right? We know that he had at least one sister as well, but there's a lot of guys in his family. But Joseph was the favorite one. And his brothers, did they like that or did they not like that so much? They didn't like it. Oh boy, it drove them crazy. So what did they finally do to Joseph? Yeah, they threw him in an empty pit. And then when they took him out, did they say, oh, all right, we'll forgive you now and go on with life? No, when they took him out, what happened to him?
They sold him.
They sold him into slavery. And where did he end up? Where did Joseph act? Where did... Oh, well... Yeah. Hold that thought till later. Where did Joseph end up? When he was sold, where did he go? What country? Do you know?
Egypt.
He went to Egypt. Went to Egypt. And he was a slave there, right? And then he was mistreated there, and he wasn't just a slave. He ended up in where?
Prison.
He went to prison. Was it because he did something bad that he went to prison? No, he did a good thing, and he went to prison. How fair is that? Right, so first his brothers didn't like him, and then he was sold to Egypt, so he left his country, left everything he knew, and then he tried to be a good slave, but he wasn't even able to be a good slave, because by being a good slave, he ended up in prison. It was just bad, 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 right?
Yeah.
Well, we know the story how Joseph then, remember, he interpreted dreams. God gave him the gift of interpreting dreams, and he ended up being second in command in all of Egypt, right? Right under Pharaoh. And then what happened? Egypt and all the land around.
A famine.
When what's a famine?
When there's no food.
So pretty bad, right? All of a sudden people aren't able to eat. But God had given Joseph wisdom and they were able to store up all this food in Egypt. Now Jacob is over in the land of Canaan and he's getting hungry, right? And his family, they need food. And Jacob says, I heard that there's food, there's corn down in Egypt. So why don't you boys go down there and buy some corn? So they went down there, and Joseph saw his brothers. How did Joseph treat his brothers? He tested them pretty hard first, didn't he? I think he tested them, pretty good. But he wanted to know where they were all at. But in the end, what did Joseph do to his brothers? Did he laugh at them and say, well, guys, you can see me. I'm doing pretty good. Sorry about your crops, tough thing. I guess you got to starve to death. Too bad, shouldn't have sold me. Is that what happened?
No.
No. He forgave him. And not just that, what did he say? He said, go back to Canaan and... Yeah, bring back dad, bring back everybody, bring your families, bring your crops. I'm going to put you in the best spot of Egypt. What did Joseph show to his brothers? He showed love. He showed compassion. He showed forgiveness, right? What about the story of Jonah? Jonah was sent to the Ninevites, who were Assyrians, who were enemies of Israel. They were very wicked people. When you're older and you learn history, and you hear what all the Assyrians did to the countries they conquered, you will shiver and think, why didn't God destroy them off the face of the earth? Well, Jonah wished the same thing. God said to Jonah, who's a prophet, go down to Nineveh and preach against them and tell them I'm going to destroy their city. So Jonah, what did he do? What did he do, Joshua? Did he say, yes, sir, Lord, I'm going? He disobeyed God. He said, no way am I going there. If God wants to destroy him, amen, may it be. I'm not going to go down there and preach so that they can repent. So he boarded a ship, right? And he went totally different way. He said, I'm out of here. Did God then say, oh well, he's disobedient, I'll find somebody else? No, he didn't. So what did he do to the ship that Jonah was on? He sent a storm. It was a terrible storm. I think that I've been on a lobster boat once, and it wasn't very windy and wavy and all that, but I still got seasick. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in a ship that's all over the place. It would be terrible. Yeah. Well, that's fun, but that's on the ground where everything's nice and solid, right? Well, this ship was going all over the place, and the sailors thought this ship is going down. And so they cried out to God to save them, and they found out that Jonah was the reason, right? So Jonah said, throw me overboard, and God is gonna, you know, protect you guys. So they threw him overboard, and he was swallowed by a great fish, right? And in the belly of the whale, Jonah repented, and God told the fish to spit him out, and so he spit him out in dry land. And God then told him again, go to Nineveh. So he went to Nineveh, right? And he preached. And he preached repentance. He preached fire. And those people repented, right?
Right.
They repented? And then Jonah said, all right, Lord, I've done my job.
And now it's a good thing.
Yeah, it was a good thing. So Jonah then went up on a hill and looked over Nineveh. And what did he do over there? Was he thanking God? Thank you, Lord, for sparing these people. What did he do, Tim? You don't know what Jonah did? He sat there and he was like, all right, God's going to send fire and brimstone on this place. This is going to burn it up. Right? He's waiting for the judgment of God to fall on these people. And he waited and he waited and he realized God had spared him. And was Jonah happy about that?
About what?
Was Jonah happy that God spared him?
No,
he was so angry. You know, God, while Jonah was up there, God sent a plant to grow up and be a give nice shade to Jonah because it was hot up there on that hill. And Jonah was so happy for that plant. Oh, he blessed the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this plant. Give me shade. And then the Lord sent a worm. And that worm killed the plant. And Jonah was so mad. Oh, he was so mad he wished he would die. And God said, Jonah, I saved all these people. And you're mad about that. But this plant. You're so mad about the plant. Jonah, he didn't show compassion, did he? But we see God's heart, right? God said he doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants them to turn. So Jonah wasn't a very good example about being showing compassion. But we see God's heart in it. And I'll tell you one more story. And that is the story of Paul, formerly Saul. Remember, he persecuted the Christians, right? He would go into all these different cities, and those people who followed Jesus, he would take them into Jerusalem and put them in prison. Remember that? Well, one day, Saul said, I'm going to go to Damascus. I want to go to Damascus and capture Christians there. So he went. What happened on the way to Damascus? A bright light shone down, and it blinded him, right? So Saul was blind now. He couldn't see anything. He heard Jesus speak to him, and when he got to Damascus, he fasted and he prayed. Now the Lord then sent a vision to Ananias and told Ananias, you need to go and lay your hands on Saul and pray for him. Now what did Ananias say? Does anyone remember? He said, Lord, I can't go there. Saul's the one who's been persecuting all the Christians, right? So I don't want to do that. Lord said, I have chosen Saul as a special vessel. And Ananias went down there and he said, Brother Saul, I forget all what he said, but basically the Lord sent me to pray for you. And he laid his hands on him and he received his sight again. He got healed. Did Ananias bless or curse his enemy? He blessed him. And did he curse or pray for those that were despitefully using him? He prayed for him, right? He prayed for him and he blessed him. And God did wonderful things in Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul and wrote a lot of our New Testament. So, what are we going to do when we see calamity happen to those who we don't really like so much? What does God want us to do? He wants our compassion, right? So we should pray for them. We should rejoice when they rejoice. We should weep when they weep. We should show love. And I really don't need to tell you, because you guys are already so good. If somebody falls or hurts himself, maybe figure out if they're doing well first, and then laugh if you need to, right? I'm trying to learn that myself, because it sometimes strikes me pretty funny when things happen. But all right, children, thank you so much for your attention, and hope you can remember to show compassion like Jesus did. Thank you. Yeah.
And I'm pretending that I get seasick.
Oh, okay. I don't like to pretend that. But all right, you guys are dismissed.